Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning this morning and throughout the month of November, we're going to put our focus on the New Testament church. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and verse 15. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, of whom every family, that is, the whole family on heaven and on earth, is named. The New Testament scriptures reveal a variety of terms concerning the church. And each one of these terms suggests to us a different concept of what the church is and of exactly who we are. For instance, the New Testament uses the term of a body to describe the New Testament church. We are a body. Now, what that term suggests is that though there are many of us, we are still just one. In my physical body, there are many members and a lot of systems, and all of these things are going on, but I'm still just one. The fact that the church is a body also suggests to us, brethren, that we need each other. Now, my heart is an essential organ, but my heart needs my lungs. And as essential as my heart and lungs are, they need my liver. Now, another term that the scripture uses to describe the church is that the New Testament tells us that the church is not just a body, but that it is the bride of Christ. In Revelation chapter 9 and verse 7, and in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 23 and following, we are told that as the church, we are the bride of Christ. Now, what does that convey about who and what we are? As the bride, it tells us that we are to be holy toward the Lord. The word holy means set apart. Our lives collectively are set apart to Jesus. But the fact that we are his bride also tells us that Jesus has a very special love for us. In that Ephesians 5 passage, Paul said, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church." Now, I want you to think about that wording. The only relationship in the world, the only relationship in all of the Bible that is likened to the unique relationship between a husband and wife and their love is the love that Christ has for you and I. We are his bride, and Jesus has a special love for us as the church. But there is another term that the Bible uses to describe the church. The scriptures tell us that we, the church, are a building. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 and following. Now, every building, every structure has a foundation. And in the Ephesians 2 passage, Paul says that Christ is the cornerstone of the building. The cornerstone is the very first stone that gets laid. And every other stone or every other brick is linked to that first one that's laid, that cornerstone. And as they are all linked to that cornerstone, that's what gives the building its safety and its security. Listen, brethren, Jesus is our foundation. We are linked to him like a structure is linked to that cornerstone. The whole edifice rests on that one stone, and Christ is who we as the church, we rest on. Let me give you one more. The New Testament also uses this term to describe us, the church. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 16, Paul says that the church is the Israel of God. What does that mean? That means that the church today holds a special place in the heart of God as Israel did in the long ago. That special and unique place in the heart of God today is for his church. Now listen to me, we're getting to where we're going. Every one of these terms, a building, a body, a bride, and the Israel of God. Every one of those terms is suggesting a certain truth about the New Testament church and who we are. But there's another term that's used, and that's the one we want to focus on. I think it's one of the best terms to describe the church. And in many places, it's completely overlooked. But brethren, the New Testament describes you and I, the church, as being the family of God. The family of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 says that we are all the children of God. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and in verse 19, when you pray, this is how you pray: our Father who art in heaven. We are God's children. We address him as Father. Listen, brethren, that's family. And in the Ephesians chapter 3 passage that we read, Paul says, of whom the whole family on heaven and on earth is named. You need to understand the context of the Ephesians 3 passage. The Apostle Paul, hear this, the Apostle Paul recognized that all New Testament Christians make up God's family. Now, whether those Christians are in heaven or whether they remain on earth, whether those Christians are Jews or whether they are Gentiles, brethren, all of us who are Christians, all of us form one family, and that is the family of God. Think about what that means. That means that fundamentally, the church is not a social club, even though we socialize. That means that fundamentally, the church is not a benevolent society, though we engage in benevolence, and rightfully so. But fundamentally, it means that the church is a family. The church is a family. So what does that mean? Brethren, that means that many of the principles that govern our physical family can also govern our spiritual family. We are fundamentally a family. What does that mean? It means in general that what's good for the physical family is also good for the spiritual family. And in general, what's bad for the physical family is bad for the spiritual family. Now let me tell you something about a physical family. Every one of them, they have disagreements. They have differences of opinion. And at home, when we have disagreements, and at home, when we have differences of opinion, that is a very normal and natural thing, because every family has them. Well, if we understand that, then why don't we understand that in the spiritual family? Listen, the difference in great families and not so great families isn't that some of them fuss and the others don't fuss. They all fuss. The difference in the great families and the not so great families is that the great families apply the principles of family living to the home. They apply the principles of family living to the home. And here's what I'm telling you. We, as God's family here, you and me, I'm looking right at you. You and I, in the church, as God's family, have got to apply those same principles of family living. Now, what are these principles? What are these principles that we need to apply here to each other? I'm going to give you four of them. Number one, the first principle that must apply to the family of God here at this place, we must be patient with each other. Patient. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in Hebrews chapter 5, the Bible compares spiritual growth with physical growth. I'm going to say that again. The Bible compares spiritually growing to physically growing. Now, all of us understand that it takes time to physically grow. Everybody here understands, nobody here expects a child to enter kindergarten one day and graduate from college a week later. Nobody here expects that. Nobody here expects a child to enter kindergarten and graduate from college in a week, in a month, in a year, or even 10 years. We all understand that growth takes time, growth takes effort, and growth takes a great deal of patience. So then why don't we understand that in the church? Why don't we understand that in the church? Listen, I am thoroughly convinced that too many times we expect too much from each other too quickly. Listen. The only way we can maintain family love in the Church of Jesus Christ is we have to have patience with each other. Let me illustrate. You ever have a 2-year-old? Huh? I've had two of them. Two of them. If you have a 2-year-old, you got to have a lot of patience. If you have a 2-year-old, you have got to have patience. Amen? Then why do we understand that a physical 2-year-old, we need patience, but we can't understand that with a spiritual 2-year-old, we'll have to exercise patience there as well? Listen, we need to be patient with each other. Let me tell you something about the church. Let me tell you something about this church. There are people here in all stages of spiritual growth. There are people here in this auditorium right now who've been a Christian less than a month. There are people in this auditorium right now who've been a Christian less than a year. There's people here who've been Christians for 5 years, 10 years, and there's some of you here who've been Christians for more than 50 years, and whenever you have that kind of spiritual diversity, the watchword is patience. Patience. Now let me give you two ways to develop patience, and we got to move on. Number one, to develop patience with each other, we need to grow in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter. In verses 1 through 3, Paul says that human ability without love is meaningless. In verses 8 through 13, Paul says that love is going to be eternal. But in the middle, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, is the biblical definition of love. There are 15 characteristics that are listed. Brethren, love is a verb. That means it's action. And the very first characteristic of its definition in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, it says that love is patient. So the more we love and the deeper we love, the more patience we develop with each other. How do I develop more patience? You got to grow in love. And the second thing you have to do is you have to pray for it. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Colossae. There's a lot in this, what he says, but one of the things he prays for in verse 11 of Colossians 1 is that Paul prays for patience. If you need more patience, pray for it. We are a family. We are not just a physical family. We are God's family. We are children who belong to God. And we must conduct ourselves and we must regulate principles that will govern family life. What governs family life? Be patient with each other. Listen, there are days when the devil has more control of me than other days. Now you sit there and look at me all you want to, but you have them days too. And when that comes, listen, I need folks to be patient with me. Just be patient with me. And do it right now. We have to be patient with each other. Number two. A second rule, principle of family living is not only do we have to be patient, but we have to be protective of each other. We have to protect each other. Let me illustrate. I was born and raised on the Lower East Side. For the first 16 years of my life, I lived in the area of St. Jean and Jefferson. On the other side of Jefferson, which is the side God lived on. I lived in the shadow of the old Fifth Precinct. And we lived in a two-family house, family downstairs, family upstairs. Me, my mother and father downstairs, and then my brother's family upstairs. Three nieces and a nephew. All of them were older than me but one. I don't have time for that story. Luann, niece, was 11 months younger than I was. Deborah, her sister, was 11 months older than I was. And I was in the middle. Can you take it from there? So one day, all of the adults are gone. And Deborah and Luann get into a fight with each other in the front yard. You say, what did you do? I sit on the stoop and watched it. My job in this fight was just to pour gas on the fire. So they're going at it. I mean, they are hooking it up in the front yard. And I'm just sitting on the stoop. So this girl comes down the street on her bicycle. And this girl knows Luann. So this girl stops on the bicycle in front of the house. She jumps off of her bicycle. She says, Luann, I got your back. I got your back. And this girl grabbed Deborah. Then Luann grabbed this girl. And Deborah and Luann proceeded to beat this girl down. I mean, they layeth the smacketh down on that girl. And when they got through with her, they went out in the street, took that girl's bike, and threw it over a fence. And when the adults come home, I told the adults everything that Deborah and Luann did. Because I was always the good child. Now listen to me. Here's the point. There's something about human nature that causes us to be protective of our family. There is. It's human nature. We are protective of our family. Listen to me. We are God's family. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ. And all of us ought to long to be protective of each other. Now, here's where I'm going with this. If somebody starts to rag my family, my wife, I'm not going to hear that. If somebody starts ragging my mother or father or my children, I'm not going to hear that. You are not going to stand in front of me and tell me no account about how my wife is, because I'm not going to hear that. So then why would we hear it about our spiritual family? And in the name of the good Lord who created us, why would we ever engage in such conversations? We have to protect each other. When I'm down, I don't need somebody to put their foot on my throat. I need them to reach down and say, "Brother, you get up." Let me show you something. Turn to Matthew chapter 25. Let me show you something quickly. We move on. Matthew 25. This is what Jesus said about him and his. Verse 40. Matthew 25 and verse 40. "And the king will answer them," that's Jesus, "Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." The attitude of Jesus is that what you do to one of mine, you're doing it to me. And I'm telling you, that's the attitude that all of us need to adopt. Listen, when somebody says something about you, they're saying it about me. Protection. We need to protect each other. When somebody's having a hard time, they don't need four or five of us huddled up in a corner talking about, "Well, they did such and so, and I'll tell you what, if that was me," you better be careful about what you say you do. If it was you, one day it might be you. And you may make a bigger mess out of it than they're making out of it. You need to keep still. We're family. We're family. Be patient with me. I'm trying. You trying? Then let's be patient. Be protective of each other. And if somebody engages in conversation, just, you know what? I'm out. You're not chained to sit there and listen to that. Walk off. Number three. About to get mad preaching. Number three. Number three. The third rule. The third principle in governing the family is that we need to be thoughtful of one another. Thoughtful of one another. Here's something I've never understood. And you're going to shake your head. Yep. I've never understood why many times we are more thoughtful to strangers than we are to our family. Go ahead and shake your head. Yeah. I've never understood. Teenagers will be more thoughtful to other teenagers than they are their own brother and sister. And teenagers will be more thoughtful to their friends' parents than they are to their own parents. We need to be thoughtful. We need to be thoughtful to each other. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Let's do this. Turn to Philippians 4. Just do it real quick. Don't complain. Just do it. Philippians chapter 4. Paul is talking about his relationship to the church at Philippi. Now listen to me. Paul had a special relationship to the Christians in Philippi. Now, I know you don't love one more than the other. I'm telling you, he loved them. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. Chapter 4, verse 1. There, Paul is talking about them. He says, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, getting kind of soupy, isn't he? Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Calls them brothers. I love you. I long for you. You're my joy. You're my crown. You're my beloved. He has a special relationship with these people. He dearly loved them. And if you read the book, it's clear. Now, why did he? Drop down to verse 15 and 16. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Look at verse 16. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Why did Paul have such a special relationship with them? The answer to that question is that they were always thoughtful of him. They were always thoughtful of him. Now listen. We got to be thoughtful of each other. And we, look, everybody has done this. Everybody has done this at home. Kids do something and you're fussing at them. And I mean you're giving it to them. Or your husband or your wife has done something and you're fussing back and forth at each other. And then telephone rings, and you just ripping in. No, no, I told you, and the phone's ringing. Don't do that. Why would you do that? How many times have I told you don't do that? And you answer the phone, hello? Amen? Listen. Here's a guy, a telemarketer, who wants to sell you oil that he swears Jesus has touched, and you're more thoughtful of him than whoever it is under the roof you ripping out. Here's the problem. We bring that into church then. We bring that into church. Listen, you don't hear anything else. You hear this carefully. You be thoughtful of people here. You see, because everything may be fine at your house. And you come in here. But if somebody comes up that ramp through that side door or walks in that front door and maybe they're short with you. Or maybe they don't even see you or recognize you. Listen, don't jump down somebody's throat about that. Because what I have learned is folks come here and you don't have any idea what happened at home before they got here. And what happened to them at home, it happened to you at home, you'd still be at home. Be thoughtful with people. You don't know what he's happened. You don't know what she's been through. Cut them some slack. You're welcome. Now, this is plain as I can say this. I can't say this any plainer. Thoughtfulness is still the great secret to bonding church togetherness. Thoughtfulness is still the secret. Number four, the fourth principle of family living. Look, we got to be patient with each other. We need to be patient. We have to be protective of each other, brethren. We have to be thoughtful of each other. And number four, let each member of the family be themselves. Let them be themselves. Are you listening to me? Listen, in my physical family, they were all different. They were all different. My father, Lord have mercy. My father was born in 1906. He was like 50 when I was born, which is my problem. He was born in 1906. When my brother and sister were born, and they're 26 and 24 years older than I was. My father was the deputy sheriff in a place called Jackson County, Tennessee. Now, let me give you a geography lesson. Jackson County, Tennessee is just on the other side of Mayberry. He was the deputy sheriff. Now, I want you to listen to me. This was my dad. This was him. My dad would take the keys to the cell, walk over, and let the prisoners out so that he and my mother could go out on a date. Now, I want to make very clear what I'm telling you. My father opened the jails, let the felons out, and the felons babysat my brother and sister so that my parents could go on a date. Who does that? And listen to me. I tell that story and nobody believes it. And then they would ask, well, now who is your dad? And I'd tell them who my dad was. And if they remembered my dad, it would be immediately, oh, okay, yeah, he'd do that. You two knew him well. Is that something he'd do? In a heartbeat, without a thought. Listen, my dad was the first person who thought about a prison release program in the whole country and never got any credit for it. But listen, that was him. Now, my brother was the funniest human being on the face of the earth. The funniest human being on the face. And here's the thing. The deeper and the darker the tragedy was, the funnier he was about what was happening. On the worst day of your life, who you wanted was my brother. Because you'd be crying, your heart be broke, your stomach would be churning, and you'd be on the floor rolling in laughter. That was him. My sister had a charisma about her where she would just swallow a room. If my sister was here, and when service ended, and she got you off and talked to you, in 5 minutes, my sister would be your new best friend. I'm telling you, she would. And you know what? Because she loves people. Now, when that's not real, people know it. But they knew that she really loved people, and so people were attracted. Listen, they were all different. Now, listen to me. In the church, we are all different. We have to respect each other's individuality. Did you hear what I said? We have to respect each other's individuality. Everybody doesn't have to be like me. It's a good idea if nobody else is like me. But here's what we want you to know. I'm done. Here's what we want you to know. You come here. You're part of this family. I don't care who you are. You listen to me. You're going to be loved. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. You're going to be loved, and we want you to be encouraged. And you don't have to walk on eggshells here. You don't have to do that. People ought to be comfortable. People ought to be comfortable. Now, we're not turning it into a circus, but it's okay to celebrate. But you hear what I said? The New Testament uses a lot of terms to describe us, but I'm telling you, one of the great ones is we're the family of God. So just be patient. Be patient with me. I'll be patient with you. We'll be protective of each other. We will be thoughtful of each other. If somebody slides me, I'm not going to jump down their throat because I don't know what you've been through last week. And you don't know what I've been through last week. We good? And then let people be themselves. This and I'm done. Just because I want to tell this again. Every Sunday, can everybody hear me? Y'all want me to quit, don't you? But I ain't quitting until I tell this. And if I get the hint you want me to quit, I ain't going to quit after I tell this. Yeah, and see, be thoughtful. Be thoughtful. Every Sunday of the world, out in the foyer, Odell Morgan, there he is right there, Cliff Russell, and myself, you sit in that foyer. Every Sunday of the world, the three of us would sit in that foyer. Every Sunday, it was the same seating. I'm sitting in the middle. On my left side was Cliff Russell, and on my right side was Odell Morgan. Every Sunday in the world, we'd sit in that pew out on the foyer, just like this, just talking. We're sitting there, we look like an Oreo cookie sitting there. Boom, I dropped that in there, didn't I? All right, listen to me. Odell grew up Mississippi. Pick cotton. Cliff Russell grew up in Jamaica, man. Cliff Russell was a police officer in Jamaica. The funniest thing in the world to me would be getting my rights read to me by Cliff Russell. And I grew up on the Lower East Side. And I've told you my story. I was the good child. But we sit out, different as could be. We sit out there, one of us would lie and the other two would swear to it. We're family. And wherever you're from, wherever you've been, if you're here, God loves you. We want to encourage you, and we want you to obey God and to become part of the family. If you're here, you need to come. God bless you. God help you. As together we stand.